Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Before Hannah from Girls, Anastasia Steele from 50 Shades of Grey, and Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City, there was Isadora Wing, the uninhibited, outspoken protagonist of Erica Jong's revolutionary novel, Fear of Flying. It caused a national sensation, fueling fantasies, igniting debates about women and sex, and introducing a notorious phrase into the English language. Now, 40 years later, Fear of Flying has inspired and shocked millions of readers, and to honor the 40th anniversary, being re-released in two beautiful editions. One is a hardcover 40th anniversary edition from Henry Holt and a paperback edition from Penguin Classics, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Erica Jong back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
What do you make of anniversaries in general?
Oh, well, you know, we are timekeeping creatures. I think anniversaries are in a way silly, but it's a way of getting everybody's attention. I think really we're too numerically oriented. You know, we value things by how much they sell for, like art auctions and things like that. And we tend to think of anniversaries. It's really just a way of getting eyeballs. But the one thing that's interesting to me about the 40th anniversary of Fear of Flying is that when it came out, it was really a misunderstood book. I don't think that critics were ready to admit that women could really write. And here was a book that showed that women had sexual fantasies, that women could sort of reveal themselves. And it was so odd to many critics that they didn't get the book at all. Some people did. They tended to be artists themselves, like John Updike and Henry Miller, but many people really didn't understand it. Now, 40 years later, it has proved itself. So for that reason, I'm glad there are anniversary editions. I mean, it was a book that made its way from hand to hand with people saying, you've got to read this, which is, of course, the best recommendation.
Absolutely. And what has been, and I would think is would be delightful for you, is the fact that that has transcended generations, so that it is mother to daughter and even to granddaughter of going down the line, and that it is still relevant and being read.
Well, you know, there are a lot of things that are similar for today's women. I just read an article in the New York Times about women saying that they don't get satisfaction from hookups. The hookup is really the modern version of the zipless bleep. And women are talking about the fact that it's not satisfying to them, that without feeling, without connection, without relationship, sex is really disappointing. And I think Isadora might have said that herself. And in fact, later on in the book, she does say that. She really says that ziplessness is a fantasy, but that the reality is that sex in a relationship is far better.
How much did you know what you were getting into when you wrote the book? Because it comes
not
off...
Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, it comes off very
honest,
was sort of be broadsided by it.
I was really shocked. You know, I published two books of poetry that were considered terrific, and I won awards. And I was a graduate student in English literature of the 18th century at Columbia. I had no idea what happens, particularly to a woman in America, when she gets notorious for a sexual book. I had no idea. And I had never been exposed to the public in that way. So I really didn't know what I was getting into. Absolutely not.
And
it took a long time to get used to it, you know, and to laugh rather than cry at it. Because I don't think anyone can prepare for that kind of notoriety.
I was wondering at some point is because you had to, there was a level of it that was defending the book. And then was there a switch where then it became fun?
Yeah, it took me a couple of years for it to be fun. You know, when you are the target of that kind of criticism, you know, the Erica Jongs of this world are leading women to moral decrepitude, making women leave their marriages. Of course, no book makes you leave your marriage. But when you first get that kind of criticism, it's really kind of shocking. And you think, oh my God, am I that bad? I had no idea. But after a while, you learn to take it with many grains of salt. And you look at the way the press covers people. You know, they need somebody new all the time, and they need somebody to be outraged by, and they need somebody to attack. As the years go by, you become venerable, or at least, you know, an admirable rather than a hateful object. It's just amazing to watch that cycle.
Did the women that wrote to you and talked to you and spoke to you following the book have an influence on your writing after? I mean, did it change, you think, that experience? Did it change you at all and open up your mind to what people knew and what they didn't?
Well, you know, when I write, I always pretend to myself that no one will ever read it because otherwise I'm not free enough to write. I have to write in a very private space. And in fact, you know, my husband keeps telling me that he's going to take the draft of my new novel and submit it to the publishers without me because it takes me so long to let go of it. You know, I read about the artist Rothko, and his art dealer used to come in the middle of the night and take the canvases,
right?
Because he never thought anything was finished. And that's pretty much the way I am. I'm very nervous about letting go of a manuscript. But eventually I have to, otherwise I'll never write the next book. And it's very difficult for me. I try to write in a space where I think this will never be read by anybody but me. But eventually I have to let go of it, as all writers do.
So did that evolve, or were you that way with Fear of Flying?
I was that way with Fear of Flying. I've always been, not with my poetry, not with my nonfiction. That, for me, is much more fun. But I guess I took very seriously the novel. I thought the novel was, you know, the form of our time, and that my book had to be perfect before I let it out of the house. Well, of course, books can never be perfect. Never. And you cannot strive for perfection as an artist because you'll never let go of anything. So there's always a battle between my wish to be perfect and my knowledge that nothing is perfect. You know?
One of the things that I loved in rereading the novel was remembering, which I had forgotten, that there were chapter titles. And which are just lovely and perfect, but the last one being 19th Century Ending, which seems so perfect.
I call it a 19th Century Ending because it appears that Isadora goes back to her husband Bennett, but it is really a provisional ending. It was very hard to end the novel. You know, I knew that if she went back to her husband, all the feminists would be disappointed because in those days you were supposed to tromp off into the woods and join a feminist commune. I thought that was a different sort of cliche, and I didn't want to do that. In many books about women who had reached out for freedom, the woman died at the end. I mean, if you think of Mary McCarthy's novel, where the woman goes and has a tryst with her ex-husband and then dies. I think it's in The Company She Keeps. And there were so many dire punishments for the sexual woman that I wanted to work against that cliche.
What do you make of the marketplace now, of 4 decades later, of women in fiction and women writers of fiction?
It's very hard for any book of fiction, never mind poetry, which is virtually impossible, to reach an audience today because the audience is so fractured. We don't have the number of bookstores we used to have, independent bookstores, where people really knew what their audience wanted and could recommend books. The online book services don't really replace that. It seems that romance novels, pornographic novels, tend to be read online, but serious novels people want copies of. I find that I use both technologies. When I'm home, I like to read a paper book and make notes in the margin. When I'm on the road, I take my iPad and I fill it with everything I think I might read. So I use both technologies. I think that may continue. I don't think one will necessarily replace the other. Just as, you know, radio was not replaced by TV, but it found its own special niche. And now that we have streaming, people can hear your radio show all over the world,
right,
if they want to. So we haven't, one technology does not necessarily get rid of the previous one, but it may redefine the previous one.
And what about the content itself, in the fact of the groundbreaking nature of Fear of Flying and what it has allowed over the past 4 decades for women to write and women to read?
The writing of Fear of Flying coincided with a time that censorship was defeated in the courts. And many people who are younger don't realize that there was a long period of time when we couldn't read Lady Chatterley's Lover or Lolita or Fanny Hill, or and all these books were to be found only in the rare book room behind locked cabinets. So one of the things that inspired books like Portnoy's Complaint, Couples, Fear of Flying, was that suddenly censorship had been defeated. And a great mass of stuff came out on the heels of the defeat of censorship. A lot of it was garbage, but some of it was interesting work that tried to deal with the human attitude towards sexuality with men and women in a more honest way. And that, I think, is a good thing to strive for. But you'll always get, when you break down the doors, you'll always get a lot of garbage. On the internet, I think the most money is made by pornography. I wouldn't censor it, but I would try to recognize the way that it's changed the internet, really.
Well, Fear of Flying is celebrating its 40th anniversary with 2 beautiful editions, one in hardcover from Holt, the other one a Penguin Classic paperback, and they are both out now. Erica Zhang, a great pleasure to speak with you as always. I thank you so much for being
with
us.
It's a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you.
Thank you so much. Again, Fear of Flying, 20 million copies sold of Fear of Flying. The novel is out in 2 anniversary editions, one in hardcover, one in paperback. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.